Welcome, True Believer readers, to a book battle on another episode of Let's Read Spider-Man, where we cover books from two different Spider-Man titles that came out at the same time. It's the Thunderdome for books. Two series enter, one series leaves.
Yeah, we got four web books here, 40, 41, 42, and 43. It has Betty Brant, there's a cult, and they're going up against Spectacular Spider-Man with a lot of Joe Robbie and Tombstone and The Arranger. Both very worthy series.
Yep, and these series both take place in 1988, so we'll start off with the Web of Spider-Man books, and they are from July, August, September, and October of 1988. Stanley presents Web of Spider-Man 40, 41, 42, and 43. All You Need Is Love, That Old-Time Religion, Pressure, Autodaf, or Nobody Expects the Spanish Inquisition. Written by Peter David, penciling by Alex Saviuk, and inked by Keith Williams.
Peter Parker and Flash Thompson can't find Betty Brant. After some sleuthing, they figure out Betty has been indoctrinated by a cult called the Students of Love, which is led by the teacher. Spider-Man attempts to extract Betty, who doesn't want to leave and even looks happy. In the process, Betty rips Spidey's mask off just as a pyro-happy, mentally unstable cult member named Bruce starts a fire to try and stop Spider-Man. This gives Peter cover to retreat, and he goes undercover infiltrating the cult. The leader, the teacher, who ends up being a con artist with no special powers, does figure out... Peter is Spider-Man! He figures it out when he realizes Peter's the only member he doesn't recognize just after he saw Spider-Man. But the teacher doesn't attempt to expose Peter or really care. He gives Peter bus fare and says, "The way of the fist is not ours."
Yeah, in the second book, Peter changes into those generic cult clothes to blend in, and with the group, it's when he's found. He sees a miracle performed by the teacher, and he's taken in by the con artist. The other two stories involve Flash and Ben researching the cult and Betty's disappearance. And there's one more story about MJ hearing about a high-paying lingerie photo shoot. It's very easy to follow a tight set of books with only two plot lines because so much of the plot is the Students of Love. There's just a little bit with MJ. And there's really like no wasted panels at all. I thought that was really smart.
Well, Kate Cushing gets Ben Urich on the case because she thinks her long-lost sister might be in the cult. With some guidance from Reverend Tolliver, Ben and Flash hatch a scheme to capture Betty. With some help from authorities, Flash and Ben assault the compound and bring Betty to Flash's apartment. There, they begin to aggressively deprogram her by tying her to a chair, blinding her with light, and asking her questions in quick succession. At this point in the third book, the writers have made the cult look reasonably peaceful, with Peter, Flash, Tolliver, Ben, and Kate looking like they may be overreacting. But the cult raids Flash's house, breaking and beating everyone. They take Flash and Peter, who lets himself be captured, back to the compound. There, they are tied to chairs, until Bruce accidentally starts another fire, causing a mass evacuation. Bruce is accidentally shot, and the teacher tries to leave him, only to have the building collapse on both of them.
Good job in the summary. A little different at the end there, I think. I believe Bruce is shot on purpose. It's actually the last book, issue 43. It's on page 25. Spider-Man thinks the teacher is talking to him. He says something like, you know, "I tried to help you and all I did these things for you." But he's talking to Bruce, and then the teacher just shoots him because he's lighting the fire. He's a pyro.
So. Yeah, he's the one that's wrecked the whole place, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. And then later the Bruce grabs his leg and then, you know, he kind of kills him back.
Huh.
I'll talk about the Spectacular Spider-Man books now, and then we can, you know, break down all the things we think about these books. I don't want to talk too much more detail until we go through these.
Sounds good, James B. And these books are from July, August, and September of 1988. Stan Lee presents Spectacular Spider-Man 140, 141, and 142. Kill Zone, The Tombstone Testament, and Will by Conway and Sal Buscema.
Joe Robbie is in the hospital, his back broken by Tombstone. Spider-Man asks around with his fists to find Tombstone until he is back at the Arranger. In his office, the Arranger legally outmaneuvers Spider-Man while back at the hospital. Tombstone threatens Joe Robbie's family if Robertson exposes what he knows. Peter learns about the threat, and although Joe Robbie tells Peter to destroy a cassette tape with the evidence, Peter arranges to meet someone else regarding the tape. Spider-Man learns the third party in this tangled web is... the Punisher. He wants the tape because Tombstone killed a friend of his.
The Arranger has a guy from the previous book, Roland Rainbird. Tombstone helped kidnap this guy, and now he's tied to a chair in a secret back room adjacent to the Arranger's office. Roland is all drugged up because he won't listen to the Arranger, but now he's coming around and ready to do his bidding. Also, I remind the listeners that he has some kind of suggestive power.
Meanwhile, the Punisher heads off to find Tombstone, but he only runs into the Arranger and that mutant, Roland Rayburn, who has finally been broken, is now called the Persuader. His first act is to persuade the Punisher. Meanwhile, Tombstone has harassed MJ enough to get Peter all worried. First Venom, now Tombstone, jeez. While Joe Robbie practices walking, because he has a broken back, the Arranger practices torturing his captives. Joe Robbie learns he must share the truth. Spider-Man defeats Tombstone, and the Arranger replaces Tombstone with his new hire, the brainwashed Punisher. Also of note, the clone of Gwen Stacy appears on two pages, setting up a future story.
Oh, boy. At one point, Tombstone breaks into Peter and MJ's apartment in an attempt to recover the incriminating cassette tape. And when he turns out that MJ is there, he picks her up by her hair, demanding she tell him, "Where is Peter Parker?" She ends up in the hospital with a slightly injured arm, but otherwise is okay.
Well, listeners, at this point, Eddie and I will discuss what we like and don't like about these books. Eddie, let's start off with Web of Spider-Man.
I think the side story is more interesting than the main story in Web. Mary Jane Parker is offered a large fee to model lingerie, and since Peter is off investigating the cult, she just goes for it. Aunt May stops by the apartment, of course, while MJ is showering, so we can get another nearly naked depiction of MJ. And while Aunt May is waiting for her to get out of the shower, she comes across the lingerie pictures on the coffee table. Obviously, this scandalizes her, but MJ burns them in front of her, and all is well again.
Eddie, I disagree that it's a more interesting story. I found the student of love, you know, cult of love storyline fascinating. It really got me thinking about the rights of cults and the rights of people to do what they want. Any comic that makes me unsure of laws and situations and makes me think and makes me be a better person for being challenged is okay with me. The photo shoot had some light drama, but it was really forced down a predictable path and was kind of a distraction to me from the main story.
Huh. Well, I'd like to talk about poor Betty Leeds. How much more trauma can these writers put her through? Anyone taking bets on whether she becomes a supervillain in the future? Because I think she is going to be one. The series is okay. Flash is really hot-headed. Ben Urich is always nice to see in action. I like that Kate Cushing gets a little development. We learn about her sisters and a cult. It's like some drama for her. I found it really exciting when Betty pulls Spider-Man's mask off and the teacher figures out who Peter Parker is, Spider-Man.
He doesn't know he's Peter Parker.
True. He doesn't know his name.
He knows this guy is Spider-Man, for the record.
Okay. Thank you.
And Peter doesn't even attempt to deny it. Peter being unable to fight without his mask was interesting. I thought he could web up a mask with eye holes or make a mask from, he finds like a whole clothing area. He dresses himself up. He couldn't just make a mask, even like just something like Zorro would have covering your eyes and the slit holes in it. I don't know. It was something though we don't see often, him having to have this situation at all. So I like that. Overall, I think I like the series more than you, but was it better than the Spectacular Spider-Man books? Well, let me tell you what I liked and didn't like about those, Eddie. I like how the Arranger carries himself like the Kingpin. He's super calm and cool. He doesn't feel threatened by Spider-Man. I'd like to know more about why Tombstone is like so gray and white-skinned. They show him as a youth the same way. It's like he's drawn in black and white. Everyone else is in color. I do like the idea of the Kingpin grabbing a mutant and then using him for his own purposes. Super smart. I like adding Punisher to the book. You know me, more heroes and villains, ups the interest level of the series. I also think it makes Tombstone a higher tier foe when he has like Spider-Man and he has Punisher as enemies.
Yeah, it was brilliant writing to have the Arranger force the Persuader, Roland Rayburn, to do his bidding. I couldn't figure out what was going to happen to Rayburn and why it was so important until he hypnotized the Punisher. By the way, I like this word persuader being used instead of hypnotized. It kind of, it's like a lighter way to say he's been hypnotized. It's such good writing. But the Arranger is just way too wimpy for me. He has nothing other than his wits, and it's just not fun to be constantly outmaneuvered by such a boring dude.
Yeah, you don't like the Rose, and the Arranger is really similar to the Rose.
Yeah.
So that's why you don't like it. Except he doesn't have Rose in a cool purple mask.
Yeah, he's way more boring even than the Rose, in my opinion.
He's not more boring than the Rose. Right. He's like exactly the Rose.
Yes.
But we can debate that later.
All right.
I would have liked this better if the setup for this was a bit longer. Tombstone shows up in Web of Spider-Man 36, and by Web 40, we're like, here's his entire life story and how he's tied to Joe Robbie. I didn't need it to be like a Chris Claremont multi-year long setup or years of Mary Jane not being revealed, but at least in Cult of Love, Betty has been primed due to her recent tragedy with Ned, so it didn't sneak up on me that like all of a sudden, like, wait, now we finally get to know what's been going on with Joe Robbie all this, well, not all this time because this guy just showed up. I also want to say that when we covered the summary for the Cult of Love books, like we talked about it. I feel like we covered everything. There's probably a lot more in these Spectacular Spider-Man books that we had to cut out in the summaries. These books had a lot more side plots, and
yeah.
And in a way it was better and worse because there's a lot of things we couldn't squeeze in as we're given these summaries just on the sake of time, which is great. There's a lot of meat here, but also there are things that are a little detracting, little moments that aren't as necessary where
right.
The first storyline was quite a bit tighter.
Well, you know, Joe Robbie has generally been an underutilized character, and I think everybody loves him too. In the web books, Betty Brant is being depicted as a helpless victim. I just don't need any more of that. Watching Joe Robbie, who's possibly the character with the strongest morals in Spider-Man, have a crisis of consciousness, it's great for me. I have no problem with him getting a whole book devoted along with Tombstone. We've had like entire books without Spider-Man devoted to like Silver Sable and Jack-O-Lantern, so this is considerably more interesting than that.
Well, before we decide which books we think are better, I think we got to squeeze in our sponsor. And Eddie, today's sponsor, we actually have two of them.
Wow.
Eddie, Let's Read Spider-Man's first sponsor is the Students of Love. You can make new friends and relax. Teacher and the students provide meals and easy access to local attractions like beaches. This all-inclusive stay has a private gymnasium for you to enjoy. All you have to do is make sure you sign off your property and are ready to become a member. That's Students of Love.
Right.
Let's Read Spider-Man is also sponsored by Mercy Unlimited, makers of Mercy Bullets, and of course, Mercy Homes. Life is safer with no stairs, with saran wrap instead of windows, with styrofoam instead of nasty sharp-edged bricks. Mercy me, do you want access to that safe lifestyle? Mercy Homes is for you. Mercy, when you want something, but safer. So there you go. Thank you for sponsoring our show.
Wow.
Eddie, Let's remind people how they can reach us.
Yeah. You can email us at letsreadspiderman@gmail.com. Or click on the link in this podcast description to join our Discord channel and connect with us through social media.
And now it's time for the close. I'm James B., joined by
Eddie.
And now it's time for the best books I read today. Eddie, I really enjoyed the cult book being one tight story. I felt like I was sitting down reading a story and just go, go, go. And it really made me think. When I had to read the Spectacular Spider-Man books, I thought they were way better characters and it was like way more important to the overall Spider-Man storyline. But in the end, if I had to stick with one set today, I would choose the Web of Spider-Man books.
Wow. Well, James B., I did like that side story in Web of Spider-Man with Mary Jane Watson having her dilemma being a model. The photo shoot, not so interested in cults and the cult of love. I feel like they've done that before. And then in the Spectaculars, we got Joe Robbie and Tombstone and their relationship and their history and this dilemma that Joe has. That's my guy, Joe Robbie. So these Spectacular books, you should read them. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
The clone of Gwen Stacy is teaching in Lansing, Michigan, home of Michigan State University, one of my alma maters.
She was teaching?
That's what it says. She was in the school. She, like, loves her students. Who knew we had so much in common with Gwen Stacy? Well, Gwen Stacy's clone, I guess.
Wow. I must have, I swear I read these books, but every so often I feel like I missed something small. Maybe I was just not as excited about the Spectacular books as I should have been. I know she's on the cover of Annual 8.
Ooh.
So I feel like she has to be back, you know, within whatever that's going to take. I mean, what, like 9 more books?
Yeah, yeah. So well, I'm soon. Not as excited about having a Gwen Stacy clone come back into the picture. This can only, like, convolute everything in a weird way, I guess. I don't know.
I can't remember. I know we had this conversation during the Ian podcast, but you're now on board with MJ.
Yeah, I'm good with her. I like her a lot more than I initially did. She's still kind of more of a friend. So. Hey, James B., did you notice as Flash drives a van into the cult compound, he says, "Let's kick some cultist keister."
I did not notice that.
It's a great one-liner from Flash.